Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 26th of November. Coming up today, we'll hear from an e-cigarette boss in Cairns who's backing a new proposed law which could reduce the sale of disposable vapes. We'll also hear from a Cairns chef whose restaurant held a Michelin star for 16 years before it was lost. But first, taking a look at our top story today, bosses of an air show taking place in Thanet next year say they're consulting with experts to make sure it runs safely. There are concerns the Manston International Air Show may not go ahead because it would mean the closure of nearby roads and dual carriageways in order to comply with safety regulations. Among those impacted would be the A299 Thanet Way. Council say that's a key road that will bear extra traffic when the new EU entry exit system comes in. Bill Giles is one of the organisers of the air show. He's told us they're confident it can go ahead.
There's certainly a lot to think about these days. Civil Aviation Authority, permissions, become a lot tighter over the last few years for reasons that I don't think anyone needs to go into at this stage. But we're working with probably collectively one of the top airshow organisational teams who assist with all the paperwork with the Civil Aviation Authority. They provide the flying display committee and the director who makes sure that everything happens smoothly according to plan, stops things if they don't feel comfortable about stuff, or you know, lets everyone run with it in a in an orderly and timely fashion. So we've behind us in terms of the air show, we've got a really, really good team. So I'd like to, if I may, to dispel any rumours that that might be circulating about whether the show can or can't go ahead. We've had a number of meetings with regards to the site, with regards to airspace, and everyone is very confident that that the show can, you know, pass off successfully and without any issues. One thing I would also like to just add in, I think it is important because there will be people who remember a lot of traffic issues historically from events at Manston. We are working very carefully and very closely with all parties to mitigate any issues relating to people getting to and from the site, and also making sure that the local area is affected as little as possible during this show.
Council say no official event or temporary road closure applications have been submitted.
Kent Online News.
Detectives investigating the robbery of a delivery van in Staplehurst have arrested three people. A man wearing a balaclava reportedly asked the driver for the keys before attacking him in Pinnock Lane last Friday. Two men from Cambridge and a teenager from London are being questioned. A dad from Sittingbourne has attacked his own father and stepmother after he accused them of trying to stop him seeing his son. Christopher de Courtney turned up at their home in Gillingham before shouting abuse and physically assaulting them. The 42-year-old from Bismuth Drive has been placed on a community order, must do 120 hours of unpaid work and attend rehab. Now, an e-cigarette boss in Kent is welcoming any decision that would reduce the sale of disposable vapes. MPs are due to vote on a law later which would restrict sweet vape flavours, which some argue deliberately makes them appeal to children and young people. It would also ban anyone born after 2009 from ever legally smoking. The bill would gradually raise the legal age for buying tobacco. Mike Cameron is the CEO and founder of Smoko e-cigarettes in Tunbridge Wells.
The whole idea of vapes and electronic cigarettes as an alternative for adult smokers to use as a tool to help them to quit smoking, that was always the initial, the initial foundation of the product. And that's why we got into the business in the first place. These vapes that, have images of SpongeBob SquarePants on the, on the front of them, that is the complete opposite of what e-cigarettes and vapes were meant to be used for. So from that point of view, I think, any measures to curtail and remove those kind of products from the market is 100% welcomed. And, you know, it should have happened a long time ago.
How do you think we ended up in this position? Was it just not regulated closely enough?
What's interesting, Nicola, is that in May 2016, the industry became very regulated, both in the UK and across Europe, with a set of laws called the TPD, or Tobacco Products Directive. And that was meant to protect the consumer, so limit the type of ingredients that are in, you know, vapes, ensure that the amount of nicotine that is delivered on each puff is consistent, that the maximum amount of nicotine or liquid that can be in any, you know, device cannot exceed 2 milliliters of liquid. So all of these laws have been in place. And of course, that you can't sell these products to underage kids. And, you know, the advertising was heavily, heavily regulated. So the regulation has already existed, but in it's been the, I guess, the interpretation at the local level by whether it be the police or the trading standards or the other organizations who implement and enforce these kind of laws. I think that's where the disconnection has been over the last, well, certainly over the last 3 or 4 years, when the disposable vapes came onto the market and they started being sold in a prolific manner through retailers who aren't necessarily part of the industry. And I want to clarify this a little bit. There's a lot of like vape shops and specialist electronic cigarette shops and, you know, tobacconists like ourselves who understand the laws, understand the rules, understand the regulations, and we always do things right because we're here for the long term. However, if you're a company, you can buy really, really cheap disposables, take them back and sell them in your mobile phone repair shop, in your independent convenience store, in your barber shop, in your cafe, in your deli, in your nail bar. These people don't necessarily have the full understanding of how to sell electronic cigarettes and vapes properly, or who they can and can't sell to.
Should there be perhaps more regulation then on who can sell vapes and e-cigarettes?
100%. E-cigarettes and vapes should be considered in the same vein as alcohol. And from what I understand in the UK, you need a license to sell alcohol products. So therefore, you've got to go through the proper training and regulation and, you know, to get approved to actually sell those products. And that eliminates a lot of the, you know, illegal sales, the bootleg sales, you know, black market stuff, because it's very easy to know who should be selling and who shouldn't be selling.
Kent Online News.
Neighbours of an abandoned care home in Deal say children are dicing with death by climbing on the roofs. Pictures at Kent Online show them accessing the derelict site in Mill Road. They've been seen smashing windows and setting fires. High fencing has now been put up on the unsecured land. An application to redevelop the site into 13 new homes is still under consideration. A grieving pensioner from Whitstable has suffered from what's known as broken heart syndrome after she was attacked by her husband of more than 50 years. The 78-year-old was pushed up against a wall and had a knife held to her throat just weeks after their daughter had died from cancer. She later experienced chest pains and shortness of breath and was taken to hospital with a suspected heart attack before being diagnosed with Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. It's a condition where the heart muscle changes shape and suddenly weakens. She is expected to make a full recovery. 79-year-old Robert Collins from Simmons Road in Cliff has been given a 2-year suspended sentence over the attack. He's also been issued with a restraining order. The boss of a Chatham shopping centre says more people are stealing out of necessity as the cost of living crisis sees an increase in shoplifting. It follows a spike in the theft of baby formula, with prices up by as much as 45% on the last 2 years. Charlene Malone manages the Pentagon in Chatham and has spoken out as part of a campaign to raise awareness about the impact shoplifting can have. Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott has met with shop owners in the town to discuss possible solutions. A Nando's branch in Kent has had to be temporarily shut down after mice were spotted by inspectors. sectors. The outlet in Earl Street in Maidstone was closed in July so bosses could carry out pest proofing. It's also been given a 2-star hygiene rating. Bosses say they are working hard to improve conditions.
Kent Online News.
Charity volunteers have been left stunned after a fundraising Father Christmas was denied entry into a Home Bargains in Whitfield. The RNLI had organised for their Santa to collect donations and hand out gifts to children, but the visit was denied because it was booked with a store manager rather than the head office. They had to organise events elsewhere in the town. Home Bargains say they'd be happy to welcome Santa back if they went through the correct channels. A multi-million pound wellbeing centre has opened at a Kent hospice. The new wing at Eleanor in Northfleet will be used to hold sessions for children and adults with life-limiting illnesses. Our reporter Alex Langridge has been speaking to Andrew Loden, who's the operational lead for wellbeing.
I'm really excited. It's been a long time coming. We've been working for 2 years off-site at the Manor Hotel, and it's so great for us to be able to move our teams back here and prepare for the new groups that we're about to deliver. One of the things we found in the past, we just didn't have the space to be able to deliver the groups that we wanted to. That's exactly what the new build allows us to do. Increase the variety, increase the size of the groups that we're doing. And the wellbeing services really are what I would informally call the living end of hospice care. People understand that hospices will do the end of life care, at the dying side of hospice care. I'm very much working at earlier in the process, working on helping people to live their lives to the fullest. If you're told that you've got a certain amount of life left on this planet, you want to make the most of it, and Eleanor wants to help you do that. The Wellbeing Centre allows us to deliver different groups in different ways, whether it be a bigger exercise group, whether it be a creative arts session, whether it be a music for wellbeing session. There's some really special places here in this new building.
I guess before you didn't really have the space necessarily to do that, so I guess having that space and having rooms that are specifically designed for that is really important.
Absolutely, space is a premium, and I think when you start to become popular in your services, you realise we need to expand, otherwise it's very hard to do an exercise group when you can't lift your arms up because there's so many people squidged into a room, and that was the point we were getting to. We realised we needed to expand. It's taken investment from Eleanor to be able to do that, but that's important for us and our community to grow. And I think it's important we acknowledge that the building isn't just for the Eleanor community, it's for the wider community. We've got an amazing changing places, a bathroom. So for people who live in the community that don't have a bathroom or shower that's suitable for them, it's a space that they can come and use. If you're a mum who's out and about and needs to change their baby, it's a space that they can absolutely come and use. So it supports the local community in that way. And then the Eleanor community too, with bigger counselling rooms for us to be able to provide more counselling groups, more life support groups, a massive multi-purpose room where we can do life skills, we can do cooking and baking, we can do the tech side of is something that we've never been able to do before. We've got a new 98-inch cinema screen TV that's been installed by Together for Cinema. Which we're so grateful for because it allows us to bring technology to the forefront of the care that we're delivering at Eleanor.
Kent Online News.
A school in Broadstairs has been given permission to continue using outdoor lights, which neighbours have described as being like the Blackpool illuminations. People living nearby to Upton Junior School say they could see the glare from the lights even when they had their curtains drawn. Council have now granted permission for the lights to be on until 10 p.m. Monday to Saturday and 8 p.m. on Sunday. Residents say it's totally unnecessary. The Labour MP for East Thanet has been telling Kent Online how it's down to politicians to inspire people to get out and vote. Figures show only 60% of people registered to vote cast a ballot in the July election, which averages only 1 in 5 people. Polly Billington has been speaking on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
We've got the system we've got, and you've got to work within the system you've got. And you would understand why I might say a win is a win. I've also been looking at the issues of public engagement in politics for a very long time. I was a journalist, as I said, for a long time. And one job I had was being the political reporter, the first ever political reporter for Radio 1, at a time when people were really worried about young people not being involved or interested in politics. And I actually think the responsibility lies with the politicians rather than... There was quite a lot of people going, oh, why don't people care? And it's like, well, unless you're speaking to people and their needs and ambitions and aspirations, then that's on you rather than on them. The reality is, if you do not take part, then the decisions will be made by somebody else. I learned very early on, and it's one of the reasons probably why I'm here, is the decisions are made by the people who turn up. So if you're not happy with the decisions that are being made, then it's a reason to get involved. And that may well indeed change the nature of the politics that is being conducted in this country. I certainly hope that the politics in this country is better for the fact that people like me, who don't have a political background, are, you know, in terms of my family or anything like that, is able to start thinking about how we solve things for ordinary people. And that hopefully over time will mean that we will get a better country. And that's ultimately the reason why I'm here.
If you missed that episode, you can catch up at the podcast page at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
The head chef of a restaurant in Kent has told the Kent Online podcast what it's like to lose a Michelin star. The West House in Bittenden had held the coveted accolade for 16 consecutive years before it was lost in 2020. Graham Garrett has told reporter Millie Bowles it was a difficult time.
When we lost the star back in about 2020, so around COVID time, it was a fairly depressing time for everyone at that time. So losing a star and that just before all of that wasn't the greatest feeling on in the world. But we changed. I had a different team in the kitchen. I'd taken a bit of a step back out the kitchen to build rooms, which we've now got. So we kind of changed from a little husband and wife run restaurant to a restaurant with rooms with other people, and clearly someone didn't like that. So that was the end of that era. But we had it for 16 consecutive years, for what it's worth. So, you know, that's it. You move on. Luckily, the customers didn't. They're still here.
Absolutely. And on that note with the customers, do you think that some people maybe get bogged down in chasing a Michelin star and forget about the customers?
I think a lot of chefs are very guilty of trying to cook for guidebooks, shall we say, and for accolades, rather than cooking for customers. And it's the most important thing in the world is the customers. Without them, you don't have a business. Without that, you can't be creative and cook and do what you want in the kitchen. You know, it's all about that. It's always all about the customer.
The restaurant is still on the Michelin guide and has 3 AA rosettes. There's been no word from Michelin on why the star was taken away. And a herd of cattle has returned to an historic site near Canterbury for the first time in 60 years. The Dexter cattle have been left to graze at Golden Hill in Harbledown to help naturally shape the habitat. It's part of a program involving the National Trust and Kent Wildlife Trust.
Kent Online Sport.
Cricket now, and fixtures have been announced for next year's county championship season. Kent's men will travel to take on Northamptonshire in their first Division 2 match on the 4th of April. The women start their season with a one-day cup game against Middlesex on April 19th. A Kent tennis player has taken up a prestigious role at Special Olympics Great Britain, representing thousands of athletes. Adam Brownsword from Folkestone works at Canterbury Tennis Club and was diagnosed with autism and ADHD as a child. He's one of seven new members and will start the job in the new year. And there are plans to launch a sixth-form golf academy at a school in Faversham. One of the PE teachers at Abbey School has teamed up with the local golf club to try and spot and fund new talent. The school is already home to Dover Athletic Football Academy. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.